Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen, amen. No matter what you've been told, New Beginnings. We are New Beginnings Ministry, and we're here every Wednesday, and we do thank you for tuning in once again. We are scheduled with New York with Pastor Dawn Nixon. Amen, and she always brings a powerful word of food for our spirit, so we do thank her, and we do welcome her once again on her schedule for this week. For those of you that are listening by internet, if you would like to call in and participate, the call-in number is 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. And you could call in and participate once Pastor Mixon opens up the lines for you to communicate. And again, we are an interactive Bible study. We give an opportunity, give you the opportunity to call in and participate on this broadcast. Amen, amen, amen. Also, we'd like to remind you that any time that we have been on the blog radio, you can go and archive it. You can go in and archive it. And in order to archive it, you would go into Blog Talk Radio on the internet. You would type in Blog Talk Radio, then look for New Beginnings Ministries, and the URL is We Can Begin Again. We Can Begin Again. Amen. Once you type that in there, you can pull up any of the archives that we have broadcast over the period of time that we have been over the air. Enough talking. We're going to move on over to Long Island, New York, because I'm anxious to hear what Pastor Mixon is going to share with us this evening. Amen, amen, amen. I'm ready to hear. Yes. How about you? Pastor Mixon, are you there?
Yes, God bless you, Elder Clay, and to your lovely wife. We're so grateful to be online with you again on today. Y'all pray for me. I don't have much of a voice, but I'm going to do the best that I can on tonight. I believe that the Lord has something to say. I pray that you will call somebody, reach out to somebody, and let them know that we are on the air. If they would share this hour with us on tonight, I would be ever so grateful. We want to hear what God has to say to all of us on tonight. And so I'm grateful to God. I pray that those who are listening will not only be hearers of the word, but you will also be doers of the word. It is not enough for us to hear the word of the Lord for our life and not apply it to our lives. Not only that, but we should also share it with others so that others will know how to walk according to the will of the Lord in this season and time of our life. And our goal is to make heaven our home. And so I must do my due diligence to make sure that I am on my way into kingdom living. I would like everyone to go with me into a word of prayer. We are going to be coming out of James, the fifth chapter, James, the fifth chapter, and we're going to be reading verses 13 to 20 on tonight. And we are going to deal with tonight how prayer is key. Prayer is the key. And so, our Father and our God, we thank you tonight. We thank you for your wonderful blessings toward us. We're ever so grateful that you are looking after us, because if your eye is on the sparrow, then we know that you are watching over us as well. And so, God, we're grateful for the food that we have. We're thankful for the shelter that we have. There's someone who does not have shelter or food, and we pray, oh God, on their behalf on tonight. We even pray for all of those who are grieving and going through on tonight, anyone that is under the sound of my voice who is in need. We pray, God, that you will allow someone, a vessel of your kingdom, to come to their rescue where they are. And so we're grateful tonight, Lord, for what you're about to do for us and what you're about to say to us. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen and amen. All right, we're going to James 5, and we're going to read, I'm going to just go ahead and read the verses entirety, verses 13 to 20. And the word of the Lord reads, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sin, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not yet that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his ways shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sin. All right, we want to talk tonight about prayer is key. Prayer is one of the most powerful tools that has been given to us in Christendom, in the body of Christ, but it is one of the most improperly used tools. And I say that because for many people, they pray, or their prayer has been used as a tool to get something from God when they have exhausted all other avenues. And so we find that a lot of times people don't pray until it's an urgency. If we look back to 9/11, if we look now, even with the shootings that took place in Florida, anytime there is a tragedy, we want to come together and pray. So we, as a human society and how some people just are, we pray when it's urgent, but not when it's important. Somebody said, well, Pastor, what is the difference between the urgency and the importance? The Bible lets us know that men should always pray. We should pray without ceasing. We shouldn't just pray because there is an urgency or a tragedy. But we should always pray. It should be a part of our daily walk with the Lord. It should be something that we commune with God. And a lot of times we use a lot of excuses why we don't pray. We think that because it is something that God doesn't hear us, or we feel a little silly about praying sometimes. And then oftentimes we think that we are supposed to always kneel and be in a place with where we're in our secret closet. But I've come to the fact that there's a place in God, when you get in God, that you pray without ceasing, and you're constantly praying. And sometimes it is our prayer is nothing more than a conversation or communication with God. And sometimes my prayer is just acknowledging how much I love God. It's not asking him for anything. It is just I'm in the presence, and I could be at work. I could be on my computer. I could be in the gym. Wherever I am still having communication with God in my spirit. I don't have to be outwardly with my prayer. I don't have to necessarily have this formal prayer. But I have this prayer unto God that when God hears me, and I'm communicating with God, God is also communicating with my spirit. And so when I'm communicating with God, it allows an open door for me to get to God quicker, because somebody said, well, how can I get to God quicker? Some folks only try to get caught to God in their urgency. But real prayer warriors get to God in its importance. I know that it's important that I should pray. I know it's important that I should talk to the Lord. But the only reason sometimes it becomes urgent is because it was not taken care of when things were important. So what I'm saying to you, sometimes things happen. We pray to God when it is urgent and not when it's important. And the reason why we do that is because when it's not important to us, or we feel like everything's all right, we feel that we're in the vein where, okay, things are good. I don't need to talk to God right now. So when it becomes urgent, sometimes things only become urgent because we didn't pray to God when it was important. So When I've come to the conclusion, if I'm always praying, if I'm always before the Lord, if I'm always talking to the Lord, I know that God has already directed my path, and I share this with you all the time. My footsteps are preordained. Nothing is going to happen in my life that God has not allowed to happen. When I put myself in the will or in the vein of where God is, it's going to play out the way it's going to play out. But I realize and recognize that God is watching over me, and he's taking care of me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because I know that God is with me. Why? His rod and his staff, they comfort me. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And so even though my enemies, watch this, it didn't say that my enemies won't be before me. They're going to come. And notice that whenever you take sides with God, you now have the same enemies as God. I'm going to say that again, because that's good. I need you to understand that. When you are on the Lord's side, God's enemies now become your enemies. And then what happens is there is an attack on the lives of those who are in Christendom because they took sides with God. See, the enemy doesn't mess with people that's already on his side. There's no need. You're already in his camp.
That's right.
But when I'm not in his camp, so that's why I need the protection of God to surround me. And that's why there has to be a hedge of protection around me, because God knows that his enemies are now my enemies. And what I also know is that God prepares me for his enemies, because there will be an attack. And so we've got to understand, I cannot be in God or in the will of God or in the kingdom of God and don't have a weapon called prayer.
Yes.
It is something that shields me from the fiery darts of the devil. And so, in other words, I'm letting the devil know that you're going to come. I know you're going to try me, but you're not going to succeed, because the victory is already mine. Even if there's some downfalls, even though if I slip up, even though if I make mistakes, even though I may go down, but I'm not out. See, the thing is, even when you have those who are boxers, you know, they may hit the canvas, but if they get back up, they still have an opportunity to have victory over their enemy.
A lot of times
we give up and we want to fall out and we don't want to get back up. No, it's important that you get back up again to let the enemy know that I've got strength, I've got power over the things of the enemy. Knocked down does not mean knocked out. And I need somebody to go ahead and Facebook that and tweet that. Knocked down does not mean knocked out.
Oh, yes.
Because
I'm gonna do that.
Now I'm in a place where, okay, I'm up, and then God has given me strength. Not only has he given me strength, but he's also weakened the hand of my enemy. So when I look at it, if I become stronger and my enemy becomes weaker, I've already triumphed over my enemy. It was David and Goliath. We look at David and Goliath, and we look at the size of them both. And it would seem as if Goliath is a sure winner. It looks as if that Goliath can't lose. Matter of fact, Goliath knew he couldn't lose. He even laughed at the fact that they brought this young boy out to fight him. He said, "Is there no one that can come against me except this young lad?" And can I tell you, we cannot look at the size of individuals. That's why I love God. I love God. And I said this, I think, the last time I was on with you last month. God is controversial. In other words, he uses the strange things to confound the wise. What seems as if can't happen, or what seems as if it is impossible, he makes it possible. So when I look at things, and it looks strange to others, it is not strange to God, because God knows what he's doing, because he'll let his enemy think that we're an underdog. And the truth of the matter the whole time is that God said, "I'm going to beat you with my lightweight. I'm going to get the person that you don't even expect to win, the one that looks like they can't fight, the one that looks like they've been beaten and they've been torn and they've been through so much." That's why I love when I come before the Lord and I pray, because the enemy, he may know what I'm going through, but he doesn't know how much strength I've accumulated or how much strength I have in God. And even though he thinks I'm defeated, he has no idea that there's a secret weapon that carries me. And you've got to always keep that that element of surprise. What is my element of surprise? I keep myself in prayer because I need prayer gives me strength to endure what I have to face in the kingdom of God. All right? So somebody would ask the question, why do I need prayer? Prayer in this particular text that we read, it talks about how if we pray, we should pray for one another. Not only that, but it talked about sickness. If one is sick, pray for them. Call for the elders of the church. If somebody's going through, it talks about prayer. But it doesn't just talk about prayer dealing with sickness, but it also talked about Elias who said, let there be no rain. And it didn't rain for 3 years on the prayer of Elias. And then all of a sudden, okay, we need water. And so he prays again. And then the rain came. Can I tell you, you can get so close to God, you can get to a place in God where you can speak a thing. And you have to realize this. We have been made in the image and likeness of God, all right? Since we are made in the image and likeness of God, then we have to also understand that we had the power to speak those things that be not as though they were. Whenever God did something, he spoke those things into existence. But when he made us, he formed us with his own hand. So it's important to know that I can get into a relationship with God to the point that God can trust me with my words. Okay, y'all have to understand how important that is, because sometimes people will pray against other people's walk with God.
That's right.
And so what you've got to understand is that God has to trust you with your prayers. In other words, God's got to trust you with your conversation. Mm-hmm. And see, when God knows those who are his, God said, I will not do any evil against you, but everything that I want for you is good. So if I'm like-minded with God and I'm doing the things that God would do, when I speak, I'm going to speak things that are going to bring things into someone's life that is going to bring healing, that is going to bring prosperity, that is going to bring good health. It's going to bring so many things that is going to uplift our sisters and brothers. And so the Bible says the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Yes.
And so I have to be fervent in my prayer. I can't just pray amiss. I've got to make sure I've got a connection and relationship with God. Not only is prayer key, but relationship with God is key.
Amen.
Amen? Yes.
Amen.
So you've got to understand that a lot of times people get upset with God because he don't answer them when they expect him to. They put commands on God through their prayers, or they barter with God through their prayers and expect things to happen with the next 2 minutes. But wait a minute. He hasn't heard from you since the last urgent thing happened in your life.
Amen.
So if I can only speak to God when it's an emergency, then there is a problem. Okay? So we've got to understand, don't let the enemy make you feel like you don't have a right to talk to your God.
Amen.
Yes.
Don't let the enemy make you feel like you're foolish because you're talking to God. Don't let the enemy make you feel like he don't want to hear you, what you have to say. We will sit on the phone, we will sit on Facebook, and we'll talk to this one and talk to that one, and we never feel foolish. We never feel stupid. We don't feel like, you know, until we get to a place where we get so messy that we can't talk to anybody because you know cause a big problem. But we don't have a problem talking to nobody. We don't have a problem sharing our opinion with anybody. But when it comes to God, you know, it's like, okay, well, we make excuses why we can't pray. Why do I say that? Because when it comes down to prayer time, we can't find people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's take for instance. Most churches open up in prayer.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
But you find there is few who run to the church to get in that prayer.
Mm-hmm.
They may get there just in time for the praise team to get up and sing. And then you have those who get up in time for the choir to sing. And then you got those who just only come to hear the word.
Mm-hmm.
And then some don't even stay for the benediction for us to close the prayer. And I've always been taught you don't leave before the benediction.
Amen.
Because that's the prayer that covers you.
Amen.
All right? So we need to understand that prayer is key. Prayer is very important. It is not supposed to just be used. It's not supposed to be used for urgency. As I look at the situation that took place in Florida, which is not something that is strange to us, but it's something that is heartbreaking to us because we don't understand. And then now all of a sudden, we want to put prayer back in school. I think I shared this before. When 9/11 took place,
mm-hmm.
when 9/11 took place, people took the initiative. They joined hands and began to pray.
Amen.
They forgot about the whole fact that, you know, state and what is it, religion and state are separate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's amazing to me. They don't want us to bring our God in their schools and in their government, but they feel they have the right to bring their government in our churches.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when y'all help me, if somebody can help me understand that, you want to tell me how I should run the church, but I can't go into to the schools and to different places and pray covering over my children, or my children can't pray before they take their classes or take their tests.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So we've got to understand that we as a people cannot turn away from God. Because God lets
Amen.
Us know. He lets us know. He said, if my people, which are called by my name,
Amen.
Yes.
would humble themselves
Amen.
And pray.
That's what it says. That's right.
That's the word.
Mm-hmm. Not only that, but then turn from their wicked way.
Yes.
That's right.
You see all the instructions that are going on in this verse. If my people who are called first by my name, then you have to humble yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have to pray.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got to turn from your wickedness.
Turn.
And if we have not seen the wickedness of the world in this uprising and in these last days, we can't just pray, y'all, but we've got to turn away from wickedness.
Amen.
We cannot let the witches and warlocks control our schools and our children.
That's
we
right.
cannot allow different things happen in our children and things that we don't know that's going on in the schools. We've allowed the club and the midnight club come into our children's school.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And we turn away from it as if we don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I had children tell me that they would bring vodka in the water bottle to school.
Mm-hmm.
And all you see around the school is this is drug-free zone. Meanwhile, mm-hmm. your child can get drugs at any locker in the school.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not enough. We've turned our heads away from the wickedness. But God said, turn from your wicked way. And when you do that, then will I hear from heaven. And I will forgive your sin and heal your land.
That's the word.
All right? The Bible says in verse 15 of James 5, it says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, watch this, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sin, they shall be forgiven him. Listen, can I tell you there's no sin that it can keep you that far from God? I don't care where you come from, what you've done in your life. God said, there is no sin that is too far from God. Okay, somebody say, well, this young man who shot up these seven 17 young people and these and the people, staff, faculty, just do away with them. Kill them. Now, listen, there's a cost that this young man's going to have to pay for what he's done.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't making no excuses, but he's a soul.
That's right.
And see, we can't comprehend that type of forgiveness. But then I have to look at, I have to look at the situation that when I look at Christ and him dying for me, for all that I was going to do, watch this, before I was even conceived, he knew.
Yes, but talk it.
And he covered me. He covered me before I existed, before my very existence.
Thank you, Lord.
He could have said, He could have looked at us and said, no, I'm not doing this for them. They deserve the death penalty because that's what we were supposed to have. We deserve the death penalty. We look at these different ones who've committed murder, who've done rape, who've done all these different things. And I tell you, they are ungodly things. They're wickedness. But at some point in time, we've got to turn from the wicked way. How in the world are we going to save our nation unless we pray?
That's right.
Unless we go to God. See, one thing I realize is that I can't cure the mind of that one who's mentally ill. But I know someone who died for the mentally ill. I don't understand what's going on in their psyche, but there is a prayer that should go forth in the kingdom of God for all of the things that we are seeing in this world. And for us to neglect prayer as children of God, we have taken the weapons that we have, or the tool, that's like I said before, the tool has been misused because what we do is we use prayer for the things that we want and we need. And we should be praying for the things that are going on in the earth to cause men to turn from their wicked ways. Watch this. You don't have to lay hands on anybody.
That's right.
All you have to do is go before God and let God's angels do the work.
Amen.
Because what I can't change, what I realize is that, watch this, there were some people in the New Testament when Jesus was, those who were going through, who were sick, shut in, whatever they were, he prayed some, he laid hands on. Some of them weren't even in his presence. He was nowhere near where they were. He sent a word to where they were. And they were healed. See, you gotta realize that your prayer is so powerful that it goes overseas. It can go overseas and protect those who are in war. Your prayer is so powerful that it can
take care
of those who are walking down the street in Bronx, New York, just trying to get home from work. And the mugger has to get diverted to another area because the hand of God is over that individual that you've been praying for. So I want us to understand the importance of prayer. Let us not do lack of prayer. My thing is, if you know what works, why would you use something else?
Amen.
Okay, let me put it this way. You have different brands of things, right? They all have the same purpose. Now, there are those who like different laundry detergent, all right? You got those who only use Tide. You got some folk that use all. You got some folks that pick up some other stuff, Drift or something. And no matter what I'm going through, or no matter what I have, I'm used to using certain brands. Watch this. It may cost me more, but this brand works for me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, somebody's going to catch it in a minute.
That's good.
What are you saying, Pastor? The things that I have to do in the kingdom of God are sacrifices, and they cost me more.
Mm-hmm.
But it works. Somebody said, Pastor, are you serious that you're willing to walk in this? I don't think it takes all that to walk in the kingdom of God. I don't think it takes all that to be in relationship with God. God says there is a certain order that we have to do, and there are certain things that we have to abide by in the kingdom of God.
That's right.
Because I want to do something else.
I want to take another route.
I want to move in another direction. But God said, no, straight and narrow. I need you to stay on this path. Don't go nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Don't make a left, don't make a right. I need you to stay right here.
Mm-hmm.
But God, look at over there. Everything looks so developed. Everything looks so wonderful over there.
Mm-hmm.
God said, don't make that right. You keep going straight. Because what God knows that you don't know is that while you're looking at over to your right, what looks wonderful with lights and glamour and all this glitz, we don't realize how much sin is going on in that area. But
mm-hmm.
God said, I've got another land for you that has lights and glitz and beauty and all that other stuff, and you have peace.
Amen.
It costs me more to be in Christendom and walk according to the will of God, but it works.
Amen.
So I'm going to work with what works and make the sacrifice of the cost that I have to make in order for things to always be in the place that it needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
For my personal security. Y'all don't realize God has angels watching over you.
That's good.
You see all of these different celebrities and all these different famous people, they got high security. You got the president, you got so much security. But can I tell you that the security that God gives you is greater than the security of the government?
Right. Yeah.
See, I can see your security guards, but you can't see mine. But if you step to me the wrong way, I promise you they're going to take care of
Say it.
And by no means will anything hurt me or come
mm-hmm.
nigh thee.
That's the word.
Because the presence of the Lord is around me. He's got his angels watching over me.
Yeah.
Y'all need to understand that I'm highly protected.
Amen.
You as children of God are highly protected.
Amen.
And how do I keep this in my area? I stay prayed up with God.
Amen.
Pray without ceasing.
Mm-hmm.
Can I tell you, real prayer warriors pray in their sleep.
Amen.
And don't even know that they're doing it. Because they continue to communicate with God.
That's right.
Have you ever woken up in the middle of
She's
the night
talking that.
And just start talking about how God, you're so good. Lord, I love you. You just start glorifying God in your sleep. And you woke up not realizing that you're praying.
Mm-mm-mm.
Because you're a prayer warrior. Your spirit fights against the enemy even in your sleep.
Yes.
Watch this. It fights off the things that you're going to encounter when you get up in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Your prayers go before you.
Yes.
I find myself rolling over in the bed talking about, God, I just love you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm to the point where it's not uncommon for me to do it.
Amen.
Because now I realize, okay, somebody said, well, you didn't get on your knees and you didn't pray to the Lord today. Da, da, da. I've been praying to God all day long.
All day long.
My spirit has been making communion with God all day long. I can't wait until I'm at gunpoint. I can't wait till I get into a car accident. My prayers got to go before me. And what my prayers do, it causes me to have kingdom credit in heaven. So when I should have died, I live.
Mm.
When I should have died from the sickness, I recovered.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Because the prayers of the righteous
availeth
much.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I realize that some people who are going to, I think I was sharing this with somebody on this week. People don't understand. Well, there are people who still died and they were sick and they were in God.
Right.
That's what you got to say about that. Well, I'm going to say to you, they'll have the will of God for their life.
Mm-hmm.
See, because we only see on this side. I never forget, I sat and I watched my father take his last breath. And as I watched my dad, I cried for my father as long as he was here with us, because I understood his suffering. But I knew his healing was on the other side of his last breath.
Amen.
So my consistent prayer was to God, God, let him go.
Mm-hmm.
Let him see that it's all right for him to go. And I would sit at my father's bedside and I'd say, Daddy, it's all right. We're going to be okay. We're going to be okay. And my dad would fight. Mm-hmm. Because we hold people here.
Yeah.
Because we think that being over here
is better.
Is the best thing in the world.
Yeah.
But the matter is, being over there is better than where I am. And we keep being sorry for those who have gone on in glory. To the point where, you know, it's what we say out of habit. Oh, I'm so sorry for your loss. They're doing better than we're doing right now. Their suffering is over. Their crying is over. Their pain is over. And we feel sorry for them.
Mm.
The Bible says to be absent from the body means I'm present with the Lord.
Amen.
And the truth of the matter is they're feeling sorry for us.
Amen.
Because we're still dealing with the wickedness of this world. We're still dealing with bills. We're still dealing with different pressures in life. We're still dealing with struggles in life. And this is what we're excited about. Don't leave. You don't want to go. Yeah, no. It's not that I have a death wish. I just understand that if I'm going over to glory and it's the time and the season that God wants me to go, it's the will of God for my life, don't feel sorry for me. Just feel sorry for me if I turned away from God and I did not give my life to God. That's when I feel sorry.
Amen.
But it was such a relief, and it was just such a burden that was just lifted. And I didn't cry from that day, because I knew that he was all right. Listen,
Amen.
People of God, you've got to stay before the Lord. Understand that your prayers are keeping you.
Mm-hmm.
Your prayer is key in the kingdom of God. Your prayer is what you need to hold you steadfast. When I'm going through struggles in my life, I pray. When I'm not going through struggles in my life, I pray. God, what do you want me to do? What is my next step? See, because I don't know. I'm not sure where I'm supposed to go. And I want to make sure that whatever direction I'm going in, I've got insight that I'm listening to the voice of God and not listening to my own voice.
Amen. Amen.
Because my will always sounds right.
Mm-hmm.
My will always seems correct. Whatever I want to do sounds like that's the way it should be, and I think God should be pleased with it. But there's times where God said, no, that's not what I want for you. That's not where you're supposed to go. Didn't I tell you not to go there? It's important. Why is it important that we have prayer? It's important that we have prayer because God hears our voice and we hear his.
Mm-hmm.
And God knows those that are his. Watch this. And their sheep know their shepherd's voice. And a stranger they will not follow.
Amen.
The more I hear the voice of God, the more it is harder for you to fool me.
Mm-hmm.
But I've got to get into the place where I know the voice of God. That comes from communication. It comes from relationship.
Amen.
All right? I just want to get some of some other stuff I want to share with you. How do you get your prayers answered? One, seeking God with all your heart. Bible says, and ye shall seek me and find me. And when you shall search for me with all your heart, observe man with all your heart. You got to understand that when I seek God and when I search for him, see, it's not enough. I can't do like when I was a young girl, my mother said, go ahead and clean up the house. We did surface stuff. We did stuff that folks could see with the natural eye.
Yes.
We didn't go up underneath the table and sweep under the table, lift the table up. Y'all don't hear me. We didn't go underneath the bed and pull everything out and then put stuff away. We did what only the eye can see. Can I tell you, this is what we do. We even do this spiritually.
Yeah.
We look good before the people in the natural eye. But there's so much dirt underneath that the natural eye can't see, but the spirit man can.
Come on now.
Go ahead.
Okay, so we've got to understand that you got to get them dust boards. You got to get around them windows. You got to get all the stuff where the curtains and all that stuff is covering up. So when we're trying to get to God, we've got to search for him. We've got to seek after him. We can't just do this surface prayer, put our hands together. We can't just, oh, God, we worship you, and don't seek after him. In other words, there has to be a place in God where you are looking for him and you don't give up until you find him. When you have those who play hide and go seek, you kept looking and kept looking until you found the individual. There has to be a searching for God, all right? Waiting on the Lord. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. That's Psalms 40:1. Asking in faith, all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive. That's Matthew 3:1-22. Asking according to God's will, and this is a confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. 1 John 14, setting our love on God. We've got to realize, because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. And he shall call upon me, watch this, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. Psalms 91:14-15. People of God, it's very important that we understand the prayer of the righteous man. We got an awesome, awesome, powerful weapon and an awesome, powerful tool that, watch this,
yes,
that the natural man cannot see. But yet and still, it is working for the kingdom of God. I don't have to pull out nothing out of my wallet, and I don't have to pull nothing out of my pocket. I don't have to pull nothing out of my ankle. I just know that when I pray, it works for me. And I've earned. You get to a place in God where you have earned the cost of prayer. All right? So everybody who's on the line today, I pray that you've heard something that you will use and apply to your life. Not only that, but let people know. We used to have prayer groups. We used to come together, and people would pray on the phone. I see a lot of times we have a lot of people who are on Facebook who have their morning prayer. Attach yourself to someone. You had, back in the day, we used to have prayer partners. We have to go back to that. Those who will come together and start praying with one another. Amen. We don't have to wait till we get to church on Sunday morning. We don't have to wait till we get to Sunday school. We don't have to wait until prayer. But we should pray at all times. There should be a time of day when you are able to pray. Amen. And even when you can't get that alone time where you're in your secret closet, as they say, there should be a praying that should be going on in your spirit.
Yes.
See, you got to learn how to multitask.
Yes.
Be able to type.
Yes.
you should be able to be in conversation with your spirit, making intercession with God.
Amen.
You can do that.
Mm-hmm.
We multitask with everything else. We can multitask with that. So I'm going to open up the lines. We don't have but 10 minutes to go, but I want, if anybody wants to share anything or anybody have a prayer request, we're going to come together as a body of believers on tonight, and we're going to pray, and we're going to tear down the kingdom of Satan on tonight so that we will move forth the prayers that you need. We're praying not so much out of urgency, but we're praying out of importance. It's important for us to pray tonight. It's important for us to join together and as a body of Christ lift one another up. Is there anybody on here tonight that has something they want to share with us before we go into prayer?
I would like to indicate that you did a great job of expressing prayer, and that's a constant. And it's a relationship between us and our God. And it's like with our earthly father. If we only spoke to him once a month, then you don't really have a relationship. But with our heavenly father, it's the same thing. You don't speak to him once a year, once every 2 years. You have a relationship with him. He knows what you need. He knows you only too well. Because of the communication and the relationship that you have with him, and he's able to fulfill that. He's not going to give you more than what you can handle. But anyway, it's the issue of faith and that relationship, that we're protected. Our earth father will do everything in his power to maybe stand in front of us while someone's shooting, you know, to preserve his offspring. That's the same as true of God, you know. But it's a matter of having faith. And that's the relationship and communication. And it has something ongoing, not sometimey. I'll talk to you for this week, and I'll wait a few years, and I'll talk to you again. That doesn't work in the human realm, but in the spiritual realm, it doesn't work that way either. You maintain a relationship with God.
Amen.
Set that time of your life.
Amen. We have to realize consistency is key. Consistency. You know, in order for me to have a relationship with an individual, even though I have friends that I don't talk to every day, but they're still my friends, but I don't have the upkeep of what's going on in their life. I don't know what happened to them in the last 3 months. Mm-hmm. And so now I got to cram what happened the last 3 months in one conversation, and I may not speak to them again for another 3 months. I can't be that detached from my God that I don't know what's going to happen in the next 3 months because I haven't talked to the Lord. But even if I don't know where God's taking me to, I know I'm already in the I'm going in the right direction. See, it's just like a navigation system. It don't speak to you until you get to where you're going. But every now and then, I got to press a button to make sure I'm still in the right direction.
Amen.
Even though I may not hear what God has to say because it's not time for him to speak to me right now, I know that I have to be in a place where I can hear him.
Amen.
All right? Mm-hmm. And if I need to know where I'm going, I need to know where my next exit is. I want to make sure I'm keeping in contact with my God so I know where my next turn is going to be. And so it is important for us as children of God to stay in contact with our Father.
Mm-hmm.
Very important that we stay in contact with our Father and that, you know, we're going in his will in the direction of where he wants us to go. Amen. Mm-hmm. Anybody else before we go and we pray?
Amen. And you're getting ready to close, but I just want to say about we don't have to be, like you said, we don't have to be on our knees. We can pray as we go because actually our hearts are the altar. You know, we're supposed to have that relationship with God where we can pray at a drop of a hat, at a blink of an eye. Prayer is just going forth. We're doing it all the time because it's conversation now, relationship now. And I like how you said, Pastor, about God trusting you when you pray, trusting your word when you pray, praying for that individual.
Man.
Because if God could trust you with that word, he's trusting your heart he has to trust. Your heart has to be his heart to pray for someone else. And you said so much. And about praying when people are urgent, when people are in need, real quick, they act like, you know, a lot of people act like God is their waiter. You know, he's a part-time lover. You know, we can't pray on the fly. God don't want us lukewarm. He doesn't even want our salvation lukewarm. So why do you think he wants your prayer lukewarm? No,
right.
He wants us to be hot. He wants us to be hot and ready. As soon as there's prayer needed, someone called me from South Carolina today, and she said she was feeling oppressed. She knew it wasn't the Spirit of God. She was just feeling this heaviness. She said, could you pray? Could you and Evangelist Hank, could you pray for me? I said, sure. She said, let her know. I said, sure. But right then, the Spirit of the Lord said, pray.
Amen.
We
got
to pray
Amen.
When it's time to pray, just like that.
Mm-hmm.
Just like that. And what that does with that conversation, it keeps us potent. It keeps us potent and vital. That if somebody needs it right then and there, you know, and it's not us praying, but the Spirit of God that moves in us to pray because we
Amen.
Have relationship.
Absolutely.
Amen.
It's just like this. If you sing and I ask you to sing, you should be able to sing at the drop of a hat because you're
Amen.
A singer.
Amen.
If you're a keyboard player and I ask you to play the keyboard, you should be able to play at the keyboard at the drop of a hat.
Amen.
As a child of God, it is a part of our life. It's a part of our spiritual livelihood to be
mm-hmm.
able to pray. And
mm-hmm.
if I come to you as a child of God and I say pray, you should be able to pray at the drop of a hat.
Amen.
Why? Because it should be a part of my livelihood. It
mm-hmm.
should be just as important as you eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner every day.
Amen.
And it should be as important as the air you breathe every day. Because in order for me to continue to live, I need to breathe.
Amen.
In order for me to keep myself according to the word of God in the kingdom of God, I've got to pray. I'm going to turn it over to Elder Clay. I'm going to ask him to give us the last prayer. Please pray for those who are in Florida, their families who have transitioned, for the people who are in the hospital, for the families and the victims that are going through. Pray for even the shooter's family.
Yeah.
Because
pray
for them. Because they are going to go through so much because of what someone did in their family. So I'm going to turn it over into Elder Clay's hands. I pray that you continue to pray for Pastor Dawn and for the Mount Calvary Church in Huntington, Long Island. If you are ever in our area, please look us up and come and visit us. God bless you.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for your word because your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path.
Yes.
We thank you, Heavenly Father, for what has been shared this evening, Heavenly Father. Not only, Heavenly Father, that are we able to hear it, Heavenly Father, but let us apply it to our lives, Heavenly Father. Let us strengthen our relationship with you, Heavenly Father, like we've never done before. If there's a time, Heavenly Father, we need to come together and pray, the time is now. Lord,
Amen.
You've given us so many signs, Father, with all of these shootings, Heavenly Father, with the schools, Heavenly Father, government, Father, you've given us so many signs, and you know, Heavenly Father, that we must come together, Heavenly Father, as a body of Christ, to pray, Heavenly Father,
Lord.
For one another, not only for one another, Heavenly Father, but for the leaders, Heavenly Father, for the world. And Lord, Father, we ask, Heavenly Father, that each and every time that we come together, Heavenly Father, that you would just give us the words to speak, Heavenly Father, so that we'd be able to transfer those words, Heavenly Father, into heavenly places, Heavenly Father. Lord, we know, Heavenly Father, you're God who sits high and you look low, Heavenly Father. We thank you for being able to call our Father. And now, Father, Lord, we just thank you, Heavenly Father, for the speaker for this evening, Heavenly Father. We can to pray, Heavenly Father, for Pastor Dawn, her family, even the church home at Mount Calvary. Let them continue to be a beacon upon a hill, Heavenly Father, that those that are out there in the dark, Heavenly Father, will recognize the light and come running, Heavenly Father, and ask, what must I do, Father? And the word is waiting. Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you're going to do, Father. And Lord, we just give victory because you've already said, Heavenly Father, the victory has already been won. And we thank you, Father. We thank you. If we had 1,000 tongues, we couldn't thank you for all that you've done. So we humble ourselves right now to thank you now for the word. We give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise in the majestic name of Jesus. And all the saints said, amen.
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 God bless you. My goodness, my goodness, my goodness. Well, I'm Pastor Mixon, all I can say is I'm just on fire over here. That's all I can say. I'm
on
fire.
I hear you.
Thank you for the word. Amen. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. We love you. We love you. For those of you that have been listening online, Heavenly Father, we ask that you bless those, Heavenly Father, that's listening by internet, Heavenly Father, that whatever their needs be met, Heavenly Father. But let us come together as a body. The arm and the leg cannot do together, individually, Heavenly Father. It has to work together as a body of Christ. Let us come together. Let the churches come together as a body of Christ, Father, in the name of Jesus. Remember, we love you, but God loves you most. We're out of time, and we do thank you for tuning in. We invite you back next week. Next week, who's on? I think we're in, I don't even know where we are, but we invite you next week. For those of you that tuned in, may God bless you. Remember, we love you, but God loves you most.
My heart is called a beast.